Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. In today's conversation, we are going to chat about what it's been like to create our very first art challenge and share a few tips and insights from behind the scenes. It hasn't exactly been plain sailing, but creative life rarely is, and my goodness, it feels good to push through and be at the stage where we can say that the challenge is live. So what does it take to run an art challenge? How do you choose a theme? Where is the best place to host it? How long should it be? And how do you get the word out? Just a few of the questions we'll be answering as we chat about our experience so far. And if you want to check out our challenge, it's called the Creative Elements Challenge and it's running from the 10th to the 14th of February. It's a 5-part free video series and you can access it by heading to classes.laurahornart.com/courses/creative-elements-challenge. A long URL that I can't seem to get my head around, but I will link it in the description for this episode and the show notes. And I just wanted to mention that the videos will be available to view up until the 2nd of March 2021. So even if you can't get involved this week, the videos will be up there until the end of the month. So Richie and I hope that you enjoy the challenge and you also enjoy hearing about the challenge of creating our first challenge. That's a bit of a mouthful.
It is.
But before we get into it, I have a beautiful review of the week and I also wanted to say thank you so much for all the reviews that have been flowing in over the last few weeks. This one comes from Karen Bree in Canada. I think you've been reading my journal. That's the title of the review. Laura and Richie feel like my good friends by now. I'm pretty sure I've listened to every episode, some more than once. The most recent one about sketchbook anxiety felt like Laura had read my mind as well as my journals. I thought I was alone in having trouble keeping to a theme and not giving up when my pages aren't all perfectly beautiful. I'm so thankful for Laura's honest, true confessions about her journey in keeping and using art journals. I'm freshly inspired to continue working in my own. P.S. Thanks to Richie for tucking in that fabulous giggle at the end. Well, Karen, I just want to say thank you so much for that review and for tuning in to so many of our episodes and some of them even more than once. And I hope that this episode will also encourage you to keep on going in your sketchbooks and maybe we might see you inside the challenge as well. So let's talk about the challenge and how the idea for it came about. The first thing I want to say is that this challenge came about because, if I'm totally honest, I was struggling to get back into the swing of things after the break. And I thought that maybe we could do something that's quick and easy and it would get those creative juices flowing. So not just for everyone out there, but also for us as creatives trying to get back into our creative work after Christmas and New Year and all of that. So part of it was a way of easing back in. And I've never done a challenge before. And I thought that maybe that would be something fun to try and it would also be something that I could get involved in my own creative practice. And I think that's one of the best ways to approach anything like a challenge or a course is to do the thing that you are passionate about at the time. So for me, I was coming to you and saying, you know, I'm really into my sketchbooks. I don't want to do anything else. I just want to stay in my sketchbooks and keep creating all these different pages to inspire me. And you were saying, surely there's a class in there or something like that. And I wasn't quite ready to make a full big class. And I thought, well, how about we do something that's free and a way of giving back to our community. And it will also just allow me to keep doing what I've been doing and having so much fun with.
A really important part about putting yourself out there online is that you have to do something you're very comfortable with. So you love your sketchbooks. You have a beautiful handmade sketchbook. You're always talking about your sketchbooks. For me, it was a no-brainer, you know, for you to just paint in your sketchbooks and
create something out of it.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. But I was absolutely blown away by the amount of people who have anxiety around their sketchbooks. And yeah. Yeah, you included.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and I'm nodding my head here.
Yeah, and it wasn't until we did the podcast 2 weeks ago when you were just saying, I want my pages to be perfect. If they're not perfect, I feel like pulling them out. And I was just thinking to myself, if you're a photographer and you took a photograph and you put your photograph into a book, you can swap it out anytime you want. You can just put another photograph in there. But for you, like it's stuck there, you know, like it's there forever, unless you paint over it, of course.
Yeah, especially when you have this pristine sketchbook that you've just purchased. It's full of beautiful watercolor paper and suddenly you're looking at it thinking, I don't want to mess this up. And that's where the problems start. And one of the reasons I wanted to do this challenge was to help people work past that. And when you decide to do a challenge and set something up where you are encouraging people to be accountable and do a daily task for a certain amount of time, one of the best things to do is to begin with the outcome. Like, what is it that you want people to get out of this challenge? How do you want them to feel? What results will they get from it? How will it benefit their art practice? And because we'd been chatting about sketchbooks so much on the podcast, it was really clear to me what I wanted the outcome of this challenge to be. And it's exactly what you were talking about, getting comfortable in your sketchbooks, letting go of that pressure for everything to be perfect, having fun, not worrying about the outcome, but at the same time, building up a very handy and helpful resource for your art. So I knew what I wanted to do. And from there, I was able to reverse engineer and work back from that and figure out how we could put that into a very bite-sized format. Sounds simple, but it was actually quite challenging to come up with a challenge where people could put things into place without needing a huge amount of time or supplies.
When we first started out, we started out with exactly what we tell people not to do. Like, we came in with, we're going to shoot it at the studio. It's going to have to look perfect. Everything needs to be amazing. And then you just said, why don't we just do it at home on the kitchen table? Let's just do it the way I work in my sketchbooks. I don't bring my sketchbooks to the studio. Like, they're around the house. So why don't we film around the house? And I was a little bit self-conscious. I was like, okay, let's give it a go. And it was the most relaxed filming day or days I think that we've ever had. And it shows, like, it looks great. Now, I've seen more of it than you have, but yeah, it looks amazing.
Yeah, one of the ideas that I had was that we could film it at home where I make my art in a very relaxed, almost vloggy kind of style. So it's different from our in-depth classes because you want to save something for your classes if you're putting out a challenge. And in our classes, I go into the specifics of supplies and techniques and really break it down. But this is more about inspiration and giving people something that they can use as a springboard, but then they can find the resources within themselves. So that's what I wanted. And to support that, I thought, let's get out of the studio and do it at home. That threw up some challenges for us because it's not the usual space in which we film. And sometimes something seems simple, like, oh, we'll just shift and we'll film somewhere else. But then you have all these factors that come into play. So I should mention the challenge includes videos. I don't know if I said that at the beginning, but for 5 days you get a short video because you don't necessarily have to do a challenge with videos. A challenge can involve sending out an email, a PDF, or some other kind of content. But we chose to set it up almost like a mini class where we film a short video to inspire people each day. And when we moved into a house to film, we've never filmed here and the lighting was different. We had envisaged filming the challenge up in my studio. But the day we started filming, the weather was terrible. It was really dark. The footage didn't look that good. So we ended up having to move down to the kitchen table. And so there was all sorts of things that we were trying to figure out as far as how to do it. I needed to be mic'd up in a different way because I was walking around and using inspiration from our home environment. With that movement comes challenges with getting your sound and everything to flow. So those sorts of things are, I guess, things that you need to work through. But one thing that I have learned through this is that a challenge takes up a lot more time and effort than you might realize. And sometimes just the idea of a challenge, it seems, oh yeah, I'll just throw that together. But it actually involves a lot of thought about what is your outcome? How do you keep it simple and easy for people to do? Where will people share their progress? So do you have an Instagram hashtag or something like this? How do you brand it? What's the name? Is it easy for people to remember and relate to? Where are you going to host it? There are so many little factors to think about, and I feel like we didn't give ourselves a lot of time. So we've actually been super busy this past week or two trying to sort of pull it all together in a short space of time. On the one hand, that's, I guess, a downside or a reflection, but then there's a part of me that thinks we just work best that way anyway.
And another thing as well, when I first got into photography, and I did a lot of free work because that's just the industry. And I remember someone saying to me, a guy that was, he was full-time for a while. And he said, even if you do free work, you do your best work. We, even though we're just doing a challenge, we still have to bring our game, proper cameras, proper light, proper sound. We can't go back to shooting on point and shoot cameras and iPhones. So we still have the challenge of delivering something that we would be very proud of, something that we would stand behind.
Yeah, and that's a very important point, and something that I agree with wholeheartedly as well, is the idea that your free content should be as good as any of your other content.
100%.
Because it's you. You're showcasing your work to potentially a whole lot of new people that might come and explore your website, your artwork, your classes, your blog, anything like that. And you want to put your best foot forward and give it the energy and time that it deserves. And that's something that we have always held on to with anything that we put out. Sometimes I feel like we almost end up putting more work into our free content than some of our paid content. But more than anything, I think that's because every time we do something, we try and step it up a bit.
Yes.
So it's not so much about the free versus paid. It's the continual evolution of the work that you do.
That's right. And to be super proud of it. I remember saying to you when we were finished, I think I've delivered the first couple of files to you. And I just remember saying to you, I'm quite sure somebody out there, one of your competitors or whatever, will just look at this and go, this is her free stuff. What's her paid stuff like? But I would just like to say this now, that we do our best no matter what we're doing. We just happen to be getting better.
Yeah. And it's been quite a long time. Mm-hmm. So if you are just starting out, wow. I just had a thought in my mind thinking back to like the very first class that I ever made, and mm-hmm. just how incredibly awkward I was in it, and our camera work and everything like that.
I'm shivering.
Cringy. So it's definitely been a big change. Like, there's been a lot of transformation and learning that's happened.
But imagine we'd have stopped. Like, imagine you'd have went, oh no, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm cringeworthy. And I'd have said, yeah, I can't manage to get a Sony camera, a Nikon camera, and a Canon camera to look the same. Or I keep forgetting to press record on the audio and we're ruining half an hour of filming.
Yeah.
And then we just stopped. We wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So if you are new, just keep on chugging away.
Yeah, it made me think about a podcast episode we put out a while ago called our I think it's called The Biggest Failures We've Had So Far. And it's a really fun one. Like, there's a lot of banter in it, and we talk about all the things that we've done wrong and the time that we've wasted and the lessons that we've learned. So if you wanted to listen to that one, it's a good one if you feel like everything out there is beyond you. Because sometimes with Instagram and what you see, I mean, I get this too. I feel like my stuff isn't good enough. I get envious and all that, you know, we're human. And if you feel a bit like that, sometimes it's helpful to hear, I guess, the truth and the reality behind those Instagram pictures and things like that. And as much as possible, we try and share that side of things because we are just messy, bumbly human. there's just, if you could see on the inside how things go down.
That's a great podcast because you realize that we don't, like some people say that they learn by their mistakes. We learned by mistake after mistake after mistake. It took a long, and we're still doing it.
We make mistakes nonstop. We learn by repetitively making the same mistake. but we get there in the end, and we're very proud and happy with the recent work that we've done for the challenge. Now, I wanted to get back to just some of those details I mentioned before for anyone who's thinking about doing a challenge themselves, because I think it's a wonderful way to engage with people, your existing audience, as well as new people. I think sometimes with a challenge, I've noticed that the emphasis can be on getting more people on my email list or growing, which it definitely can do, but it's also such a fabulous way to reconnect with your existing audience and community and a way of saying thank you for being here for so long, because there are people who I know are listening now who have been following my Instagram account, listening to every episode of the podcast. We are incredibly grateful. We enjoy all your messages coming through, and to be able to put something together like this, it's a privilege and we love doing it for that reason as well. But to be totally honest, it has a benefit to our overall business. It encourages people to share our content. I've been blown away by the number of Instagram stories and posts that have been shared in relation to this. So when you set up a challenge, it's important to think about it like that, because it's the type of thing that people will often share and let a friend know. And if you can make your challenge shareable, whether that be by, you know, creating some graphics or even just asking people to share with their friends, or in a newsletter saying, PS, if you know someone that might enjoy this, please pass it on. Sometimes we forget those little things, but just letting people know that this is free and can be enjoyed by everyone is going to have a big impact on how many people you get into your challenge and how you get the word out.
The great thing about putting out free content, good free content, is that you'll get someone who might sign up to it that mightn't like you. They mightn't like your work. And it's almost better to have somebody comment negatively on a free course than it is for someone to say, I want my money back. This isn't what I expected it to be.
Well, yes, it's the big part of that is managing expectations. So in our business, we have other courses. We have mini classes and we have Modern Mixed Media, which is a 6-week e-course. It's much more of an investment. And what we want is for people to be able to have a go at our classes and see whether it's something that's going to work for them before they take that step. So it is about letting people know what to expect as far as how we produce the content and my teaching style, the supplies and things that I use, the type of art that I make, all of that is able to be seen in a quick and easy format, with the knowledge that if you were to go on and take a class or an e-course, that you would get a much bigger, meatier, more in-depth version of that.
Yeah, and I like the idea of having the same quality of work across all of your work. because sometimes you may see this amazing preview to a course, you know, like it happens with photography courses and all that kind of stuff, where you'll have this amazing footage of the photographer and how they talk and these beautiful drone and sweeping camera shots. And then when you buy the course, it's him talking into an iPhone in an echoey room. Like, this isn't what I was expecting.
That has happened to me before, where I've bought a course and it's had an incredible promo video professionally created. But then when I have gone into the course, the audio has been terrible. The videos have been very sketchy. Mm-hmm. it's important, I think, to manage expectations. Yeah. And it's not to say that you can't put out a course without all the fancy bells and whistles. It's more about putting out a promotion that reflects what it is you are offering, because if you have very good content, you can get past some of the techie things, because the people that are into you, they're into you. They want what you have to offer, and they'll be willing to put up with a lawnmower going in the background and things like that that can happen. I mean, we had that in our early classes. We had me outside on a table in the patio with various, bits of construction work going on at times and rain coming down, and a few situations where we kept things in with a little bit of we were going to take this out, but we decided to keep it in and explained it. But we had a basic level of quality that was reflected throughout everything that we were doing. So that's something important to think about too.
Speaking of lawnmowers in the background, there's two chainsaws and a helicopter flying overhead.
So I wanted to just talk a little bit about the time frame for a challenge. So you can choose whether to have a 5-day challenge, 10-day challenge, a 30-day challenge. That's a decision that you need to make. And these were the things that I was grappling with. My preference when it comes to a challenge is to keep it fairly short, sharp, and shiny, because you will get quite a substantial drop-off rate. So if you are doing something like a 30-day challenge, it's difficult to keep people engaged right through to the end of the 30 days. I think 7-day challenges are great, something in and around that. For ours, we definitely wanted it to be something quick that people could get into and then continue on in their own way, potentially maybe join in on one of our other classes or something like that, or even apply it to classes that they already have, because there's a lot of people that will be joining in that already have some of our classes but are looking for a bit of a creative boost or a kickstart. And as far as the format goes, we decided to put it into Teachable, which is where we host our classes. The reason for that is because we ended up doing a video format and creating something that is similar to our classes. So we wanted to keep it as a bit of it's not exactly a class, but it's close to it. I've been calling it a mini class.
You're so original.
So we have mini classes, and this is just like a little bit more teeny weeny than one of our mini classes. Yeah, original name. But it also means that people who have taken our classes, who already have a Teachable account, it's easy for them to add it to their account. So you want to think about those kind of administrative things. Other options would be to send out the videos via email, so just in an email. But often emails just get stuck in your inbox, and it's harder then to go back and refer to previous days. By having it in the classroom, all of the videos are there in a really nice format. So even if you can't join in during the designated time period, these videos are available to the end of the month, so people can go back in and watch them, and they're all there. So Teachable is great in that way, because it's a well-oiled machine. It's set up for classes. There's many teachers using it, so it's all nice and user-friendly.
So this is limited access?
Yes, so this challenge that we are running is a limited access challenge. And that's a good idea with a challenge, because it's easy to add something into your account and then forget about it. by making it limited access, it's encouraging people to get involved while it's happening and feel the benefits of doing a challenge in the way that a challenge is intended. So clearing your schedule, setting up your art space, and doing the work over the 5 days. That's the ideal. If you can do it that way, you are going to come out of it feeling inspired to work in your sketchbook. You will have let go of some of that pressure and that feeling that you need every page to be perfect, and you'll be ramped up, like ready to keep exploring and doing more work. So that's one of the benefits of doing a challenge. That's why we do them, to get that fire in your belly and start making work on a consistent basis.
Gyms do them all the time. They put out these, you know, 12-week challenge or the 12-week summer body and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We respond pretty well to them.
We do respond well as humans. We respond well to having a challenge. Yeah, we do. And we overcome obstacles when we have challenges and come out at the end with some more knowledge and some more confidence.
Just real quickly on that, because I'm in the Facebook group, this challenge is mainly for Instagram. You're going to be pushing out an Instagram hashtag, or?
Yes, so that's one of the things that you need to think about, is how are people going to share what they've been up to? Is it going to be in a Facebook group, or are you using Instagram, or is it within a private password protected classroom? How do you want people to share their progress? Because when you are involved in a challenge, it's natural to want to celebrate the little wins as you go and show people what you're up to. And there's also a lot of collective wisdom too. So you might want to be able to go somewhere to see what other participants are getting up to, because that is inspiring in itself. And this challenge is running primarily over on Instagram. So there's an Instagram hashtag, Creative Elements Challenge. It's just got started, so if you want to go over and check out the hashtag, you'll begin to see the work that people are doing flowing through over the next few days.
Can you follow a hashtag on Instagram?
You can follow the hashtag too. The other thing that I wanted to mention is that you don't need to have a really long period of marketing and promotion for a challenge. It actually works well if the challenge isn't too far into the future. So people like to see something and then know that they can jump in and get started, because otherwise we forget. So with this challenge, I thought we were kind of cutting it fine and didn't necessarily have enough time to promote and get people into the classroom. But as it turned out, it's worked out very well with having a lead-in time of only a week. So I've been sharing about this. Well, I guess maybe it's been a little bit longer because we did mention it on the podcast when we came up with the idea, but it's been very organic in that way. In fact, I think we kind of, did we come up with the idea for this kind of on the podcast? I have a feeling we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did, because we said, oh, we should actually do this rather than just talk about it. So yeah, so we came up with the idea a couple of weeks ago, and then since then have put it all into place, including marketing. And the podcast episodes that we did have been related to the challenge, but that has almost been by accident. It's been one of those things that's had its own kind of life. I guess what I want to say is that you don't need to promote for a month or so. You can do it in a week, as long as you are organized and ready to use all the avenues available to you. So you're newsletter lists, social media posts, and so on.
Yeah, and saying that though, we were looking at creating something in the month of February. So it wasn't like it was totally out of the blue. We knew we wanted to create something. We were just talking about sketchbooks and we went, well, let's do something on that then.
Yeah, that's right. So the seed was planted a few weeks ago, and then from there we just started to gradually work our way through that process, and I guess dropping little hints and bits and pieces over on social media. And that's pretty much how everything that we create happens. It's we get excited and naturally want to share a bit, and then we start to get the details together. In the last 7 days, I've been working on it with a more, like more focused, you know. I've been mostly focusing on this and not on other things. The last thing I wanted to touch on, and I guess it's more of a reiteration of what we've already said in this conversation, but I do feel like this is one of the most important takeaways when it comes to setting up an art challenge, and that is keep it simple. That's the biggest lesson I have learned, because it needs to be simple for you to put it together, but more importantly, for people to be able to participate in it on a daily basis and get the benefits of doing a challenge. Challenges need to be bite-sized, manageable. You want people to be able to watch your video or whatever content you put out within about 10 minutes or so, and then sit down and put it into practice. Maybe maximum amount of time, an hour, but shorter than that is better. 20, 30 minutes, and they can then share something on social media and say, I've done day one. So you want those quick results.
When you put a challenge out, you want people to actually do it. Like, there's a part of you that wants people to be successful.
And that's the mindset that you need to go into it with, is thinking about it from the participant's perspective. So really getting into their shoes and imagining what it would feel like to do this challenge. Day one comes. Is it something that you can do easily, feel good about? So putting yourself in their shoes as the participant. Well, I think that pretty much covers everything that I wanted to say about creating a challenge. If you want to join in on our challenge, make sure you head on over to classes.laurahornart.com/courses/creative-elements-challenge. I really should have created a short URL. That's killing me reading that one out. The details are linked in the show notes for this episode, and I hope that this conversation also encourages you to think about running your own art challenge. Thank you everyone for tuning in, and I hope that you have a wonderful creative week ahead.